Please be seated. Tyler was a country boy in my former parish who you could tell was looking for something more. My parish was in a very small town in a rural part of North Alabama, but Tyler didn't even live in town. Instead, Tyler lived up on the mountain, a part of northeastern Alabama that was quite different, quite scary, as a matter of fact. The truth is, there were more snake-handling churches on the mountain than any other denomination, and I'm not kidding. But you could tell Tyler was a seeker. He was looking for something more than life on that mountain, and my parish welcomed him with open arms. A couple of Saturday mornings ago, I woke up and was checking my email, having some coffee, and I noticed that I'd received an email from one of my parishioners from that former parish in Alabama. The email contained some news that I already knew. Tyler had discerned and pursued a call to the priesthood, and Tyler was being ordained that day and would be starting in his first parish today, I believe. Now, I did know all that. I knew it because I'd actually kept up with this young man, and I was proud of him and proud for him. But then this parishioner told me a story, and it was a story that I didn't know, and one that frankly blew me away. And this is what he wrote. I talked to Tyler in January, and he told me he became an Episcopalian because of you. He said he'd been flirting with St. Luke's because of some of the kids in the youth group, but he wasn't fully on board. Then came the bus trip to Lessons and Carols in Suwannee that you put together. He didn't have the money to pay for the trip, but he wanted to go. You paid the bus fare for him. And he told me I became an Episcopalian that night at Suwannee in All Saints Chapel. I knew this was right for me, and I knew it was what I wanted. My friend also added, I thought you ought to know that, if you didn't already. It's a great day, and I'll just say thank you in case no one else has. It was money well spent. Well, as I said, that email blew me away, not just because it was so kind, but truthfully, because I didn't remember it. I remembered the bus trip. I remembered Lessons and Carols, but I did not remember paying that kid's way. And I tell you all this not as a way to pat myself on the back, but instead because it was such a little thing. It was such a little thing that I had no idea would make that kind of a difference. And I couldn't help but think of how many moments, known and unknown, happen in all of our lives where we make a difference in the life of another, or someone makes a difference in our own lives, simply through small acts of kindness, small acts of welcoming, of including, of accepting. And I'm not quite sure why that story wouldn't leave my mind this week as I began to prepare a sermon, because it really doesn't seem to have much to do with this account of the healing in this story. Jesus, the centurion, and the centurion's slave didn't have anything in common, and certainly wouldn't have been hanging out with the same people. The centurion and his slave were foreigners, and also people who couldn't be any more different in status. The centurion was a powerful Roman, probably very rich. The slave was a nobody, a commodity to be bought and sold, used or abused, and disposed of at will. The amazing thing, he seemed to care about the slave. And the Jews probably couldn't help but notice that. And all of this happened in worlds where, and among a people for whom none of this was even slightly normal behavior. There is even that amazed Jesus at the centurion's faith. But the truth is, there is no message about conversion in this story. There's no record that the centurion or the slave became followers of Jesus. After this event, the centurion is still a foreign oppressor, and the slave is still a slave. We really don't know what happened next. but I'd like to think I have an idea. And it occurred to me that maybe that's why this email and this gospel lesson became linked in my mind. Because you see, I can't help but believe that the centurion, the slave, and even Jesus were changed by this chorus of kindnesses. Because that's what kindness does. Kindness changes us. And through those telling of the stories, it's the means by which this community of faith came to be. It was formed because a Roman centurion told his family about a wandering rabbi named Jesus who not only had the power to heal, but also this amazing power to see through and beyond the labels we like to place on each other. It happened because a slave told another slave that he owed a great debt not only to his master, but to the one who saw him as more than a commodity, as more than a nobody. It happened because of a blind man, a leper, a bride and groom, a woman of the street, a tax collector, a zealot, and in countless places such as Corinth and Ephesus and Philippi and Galatia, where people did nothing more than tell stories of kindness, telling what they'd seen, telling what they'd heard, because it mattered so much that they had to tell somebody. My friends, stories of kindness have great power. They change everything. They are a gift to give, and they are a gift to receive. For they are a reminder that what you do matters. For in telling stories of kindness, telling stories of differences that others have made in our lives, telling stories of gratitude, these are the means by which the world was changed and can be changed again. And have you ever, ever known a time where we could use a good dose of kindness more than right now? If someone has made a difference in your life, tell them today. This afternoon, they may not know it. Maybe it's the perfect way to celebrate Memorial Day, by making sure that those who have mattered to us know that. And never underestimate the power of those stories. Those stories are the means by which all of our names have been changed from nobody to somebody by the love of God and the love of each other. And perhaps come to know that the real miracle in Capernaum that day just might have been a glimpse we have of how interconnected we can be by the healing grace of God. But none of it matters unless you tell the story. Or, more importantly, become part of the story. God love you. Amen.